Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Season 2, Episode 73 of Comic Book Nation, the official podcast of comicbook.com. I'm your host, Kofi Outlaw, and with me today, I got the regular team of Matt Aguilar.
What up?
And Janelle Wheeler.
Hey, everybody.
And we got a lot to burn through today. We got to talk about a big shakeup in the DC movie schedule and some other big Warner Brothers and general movie shakeups, as well as asking, are movie theaters dead now? Like, we got to talk about that. We've also got to talk about Ryan Reynolds maybe being rumored to get the biggest MCU contract out there. Matt's psyched because we get to talk The Witcher today, and he's been kind of waiting for that. Every week he tries to slide in my program notes with some Witcher. So today we're going to let him finally fly. This is the booty call for you. This is like The Witcher booty call. Here we go.
I have your back on that, Matt.
And Resident Evil. All in one. Yeah.
Oh my God, and Resident Evil, yes.
Just before we came in, we got a big Resident Evil movie reboot drop, so we got to talk about all that. Plus, we are going to deep dive, and Janelle gets a chance to shine, because we are going to deep dive into The Walking Dead in its big Whisper War finale and The Walking Dead Beyond, which just premiered. So we're going to talk about that. And we're going to try to finally get to some of these comics we got to talk about. Matt's going to run down what's new this week, but we also got to talk about big things that are happening in the world of comics. We're going to talk about X of Swords, Three Jokers, and especially this big Batman 100 Joker War finale, which we're going to get into. So, no time to delay. Let's get started right at the top. As I said, in our newsflash, we got to talk about some big upsets in the DC movie scheduling. I'm actually on vacation right now, but apparently when I traveled, everything at Warner Brothers and DC kind of fell apart.
Do that to us anymore.
I got to my new destination, and now everything I was looking forward to from the DC movie universe in 2021 is gone. And The Batman. Okay, let's just get to the big stuff. So here's the big kind of release date kind of shakeups. The Batman has been pushed back out of October 2021 to March of 2022. So yeah, that's a big one. We were really kind of excited.
Yeah.
The Flash was supposed to be on June 2022. It's now coming in November of 2022. Shazam 2 was supposed to be in November of 2022. We're not getting that until June of 2023. And Black Adam is just gone. We don't have a release date change. It was supposed to be December of 2021. Now we have no idea when Black Adam is going to film or come out. So
don't say it's gone, because then people like me go, what? Like, they canceled it?
Well, I mean, right now it doesn't. I mean, it's officially not on the schedule. So it is, I mean,
oh my gosh,
kind of a little bit canceled. I mean, it's not canceled, but I mean, they're casting for it, obviously, but there is no real firm.
Yeah, like, it just means it was so far out anyway. They don't know what the hell to do with it until they get all the other dates.
Yeah,
in exactly. Order, you know, so.
Understandable.
I mean, that sucker could be 25.
Yeah, I think Wonder Woman. Oh, no. Is Wonder Woman still holding it December right now?
And I thought so.
I can't even remember anymore.
I'm pretty sure, I was really excited about The Matrix. I mean, that's the only.
Yeah, we're
going
to get to all that, but I'm sticking with DC. Like,
Jim.
Right now. I jumped the gun. We're going to get to all
oh,
that.
Oh, no. My name's a J name, too, so it works.
Yeah, I mean, jump gun Janelle. There you go. Boom. Yeah, I mean, still holding on Christmas. Wonder Woman's still holding on Christmas Eve, but, like, at this point, that's not going to happen. No theaters are even. Yeah, this is into our larger discussion. There aren't even movie theaters to show these things in anymore. Like, so that's a thing. But yes, as Jump Gun
except
Janelle kind
tease.
Of indicated. What's that?
I said, except for one tease. See what I did there? I teased it. I didn't jump it.
You did jump it. You teased. Okay, tease. I'm learning.
Yes, but as Janelle jumped the gun and told you, there were other Warner Brothers release date delays and one kind of earlier scheduling. The good news is The Matrix will get on December of 2021. So the end of next year, we'll at least get The Matrix 4 as opposed to having spring 2022. Dune got knocked back an entire year. So they just did that whole trailer debut in that event we just sat through. It was like Fast and Furious Part 2, right? Oof. Like, they just did a whole trailer event debut, and now we're not even going to get this thing. It was supposed to come out. It was supposed to be December 18th. Now it's going to be October 1st of 2021.
It will give people time to read the books.
Yeah, or forget that this movie or all movies even existed.
Oh, no.
So those are the latest. They weren't the only ones. Our hometown hero from the beginning of this, James Bond, No Time to Die, I mean, really kind of started this bleeding by jumping its date back. It finally gave up. I mean, when COVID hit, we were kind of laughing at James Bond at first. Now we were kind of saying it was the smart one to jump back an entire, like, from, you know, what was it, spring or early summer of this year till November. Well, now it's kind of vacated that spot too, and it will release on April of 2021. And this is kind of, like I said, it was just the start of a massive hemorrhaging, because what the all of these delays we just kind of went through effectively did was clear out the rest of the schedule of major blockbuster tentpole movies for the most part, which are now just non-existent for the rest of this year, which has forced, of course, theater chains to close. So we got announcements from, and I'm still like, you know, forgive me, like I said, I'm still like on the road trying to keep up with everything falling apart.
A lot happened.
Cineworld, yeah, is closing. Regal Cinemas is closing. Matt, UT is the one that's still with us, and that would be?
Cinemark.
Cinemark is still here.
Who has evidently just been, like, sitting on cash for so long and, like, are evidently equipped to last until, like, through 2021 if this continues. And I'm like, good Lord, like, Cinemark making bank. Evidently.
Yeah, and no one had a save for a rainy day. Good for them. So there you go. Cinemark's still open. But, I mean, this is it. Like, that's one theater chain, you know? Yeah. Movie theaters are effectively now drive-ins. Like,
well, and that was the big thing also that kind of affected Cinemark, was that Cinemark is one of the few that doesn't have a ton of locations, like, in New York. Like, they're not kind of tied like some of the other theater chains are to these huge blocks of their theaters not being able to even remotely be open because the cities won't let them. Whereas Cinemark is kind of not as tied to that.
They're doing the second runs and all that, and with the dollar movies and the $3 movies.
Yeah, it's gonna be something. I mean, hey, kudos to Cinemark for being able to stay open. But
yeah,
has AMC said anything?
I don't think AMC. So from what I've seen, AMC has not officially said anything yet. Right. But it's kind of hard to see them operating in justifying operating costs with no movies, which is the whole thing here. Theaters need movies to attract people. If there are no movies that people are willing to risk their lives for, then there's you're paying people just to do nothing all day. And if you ever worked in a theater
Power
before,
bills,
yeah, you worked property, in a theater before, you know how much wasteful that actually is when nobody's coming in.
Right.
So like, yeah. And yeah, I mean, this is a big thing, and it's just a question of will they be able to reopen? Everybody's pushing these movies back and betting like theaters are going to come back, but it's like that's not a guarantee. And there's now a lot of fighting like that's happening. People are turning on Chris Nolan, saying that Tenet helped kind of kill this whole thing.
I didn't hear that.
Oh yeah, there's articles out about how Tenet actually kind of helped progress the kind of collapse of theaters by doing thing. And
well, and you know, it's weird, right? Because of part of it is because of the astronomical cut that the studio took on Tenet. Like the cut is something weird. I was reading something along the lines of where it's like, I think it was like 64% from what I understand of like the studio was keeping that. So yes, they were releasing their movie, but like the theater chains that were showing it weren't being able to keep a ton of the profits from that. So like, yes, you get a new movie, but you're not really making a ton.
And also because there's that. And it's also because Warner Brothers was kind of at the head of charging into big movies are now back in theaters. That was literally a marketing campaign. Mm-hmm. So you had theaters open up and kind of do this thing like it's back to business. And then Tenet just kind of crapped the bed. And then like you said, they took a big cut. So all you did was get them to open up and get back to like paying and putting out their expenses without making any money.
Yeah, now you have movies like that Robert De Niro grandpa thing, or like the movies that are coming to keep theaters open. And you're like, oh, that's not okay.
Exactly. So, like, yeah, I mean, this is just a mess. And just more stuff we got to figure out in 2020. And, I mean, it's not a guarantee. I mean, I don't know even, like, I don't mean to be doom and gloom, but I honestly don't know, like, how the theater model goes, like, what happens from here. Because this is going to be a pretty nuts hole to kind of climb out of.
Yeah. No, I don't mean to be that either, but I will say I don't see how at the end of this, we're not missing at least one major theater. Oh, yeah. Chain. Like I feel like we will have movies. There will be some that are fine and weather it and, you know, cuts close, but I don't know if everyone sadly makes it out of this. And we have all of these theater chains when we're.
No, I feel like it's going to become. Like, so, like, and when I was living in New York and doing this, like, every studio has its own theater, like, private theater for, like, screenings and, like, screening rooms. And I feel like it's going to be more like that. Like, everybody streaming and all those companies and studios will kind of, streaming will be the main thing. And then for, like, big event movies, there will also be, like, the studio will have its own, like, screening house or whatever. It'll be smaller in scale, more kind of like the size of art house theaters used to be. But it'll be, like, owned by Amazon, and Amazon big block, you know, content movies will run on there and before streaming or whatever, and they'll figure it out, but it'll be owned by each studio who will be able to offer, you know, that premium experience for fans who want to see it on a big screen. But I don't know, I feel like the main thrust of content will then now go to streaming and stuff like that, so we'll see. All right, our business is going to change.
Yeah. But seriously.
From that doom and gloom to some good news, somebody who could still get some money out of this whole game, Mr. Ryan Reynolds. So there's apparently these rumors from Daniel RPG, who we trust as a kind of Marvel insider source, that says the debate behind Marvel Studios doors is kind of signing Ryan Reynolds to this massive deal for the MCU. And it's supposed to be the most money for him, but also I think he'd be like the highest paid MCU actor, and it would basically kind of set his character up as Deadpool to make several appearances. Well, I don't even know. Is it strictly Deadpool or is it just Ryan Reynolds?
It wasn't really clear.
Yeah. Right. That's not really clear. I mean,
I would imagine it's Deadpool though.
Yeah. I assume.
Well, I mean Deadpool, but it could be Deadpool plus. Cause I mean, there's a lot of stuff you can do with a Ryan Reynolds who doesn't have his face burnt or in a mask.
True.
Yeah.
That, which would be very interesting, and I'd love to see it.
Yeah, I mean, people have changed over a bunch of times, so I mean, it's not like this has happened a couple times, so yeah, I mean, that's pretty cool. So that's a good thing, right? Like, yeah. Ryan Reynolds gets some money. I mean, he deserves it. I mean, the man works hard. He got Deadpool off the ground, and he is like a one-man PR machine, so you know,
oh, yeah.
I can see that. Like, he
I never cared bumps. About Jin before.
Right? Or mobile plans.
Yeah.
Normally, and it comes to me with a mobile plan and I run to the other side of the street.
Yeah. And I suddenly watch those ads. Why? Because they're entertaining. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's a brilliant marketer in like I said, he's a one-man PR machine. So he would be doing, like, it's not like you're just hiring him just for the acting part. You probably have him doing stuff on Twitter and, like, you know, all that stuff. So
it's interesting to look at the list, which I'm revisiting right now, that Thor, so Chris Hemsworth, was the highest earner in the MCU. And then obviously Robert Downey Jr., then Bradley Cooper, then Scarlett, then Chris Evans. I love how I'm on a first name basis with Scarlett Johansson. And my girl Scarlett.
And ScarJo.
It's crazy to see, you know, you would always, I don't know, for me, I would have always assumed that Robert Downey Jr. was the highest paid MCU.
And he,
that's
in the
surprising
beginning,
to me.
Well, yeah, in the beginning he was.
Yeah.
Like, but remember, like, he cut out doing Iron Man films, like, when? Like, way
that's
back
true.
In 2013.
Before, right.
Yeah, so.
And it's really
and
cool to see.
He also made a ton in the back end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't, is that true. Calculated in this, or is that just salary?
I don't
salary?
Think so.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
I think it's salary as an actor. Like, yeah, he also had, like, all kinds of, I helped start the MCU, like, back pay money coming into him. So he's
so
got,
cool.
Like, yeah. And I think that was part of his renegotiation was for that, because I remember covering that when he had, because that was a big thing. We thought he wasn't going to be Iron Man for a minute when it came up to renegotiation time.
Oh my gosh.
And then, like, yeah, and then he signed a thing that basically said he gets Marvel money for life or something like that. Like,
nice.
Something crazy. So
I just think that's really interesting. The Forbes listed 6 MCU actors amongst the top 100 highest paid actors in all of Hollywood. That's just really, really cool. Yeah, nerds unite.
That's right.
We have a role here.
The nerds aren't getting paid off this.
I know,
people
but we're
not
helping.
Necessarily ever read a comic book are getting paid off this. Good for them. We've been entertained. We're going to jump from there over to a little bit of horror. Then we'll do Witcher because we'll let Matt go and do his thing. But we got an announcement just before we came in here about this Resident Evil movie reboot, which kind of revealed its cast. And what a cast it is, right? Like, it's pretty good. We have Kaia Scodelario, who is from The Maze Runner. And she's going to be... Oh, this thing keeps scrolling. Stop scrolling. She'll be playing Claire Redfield. Our boy, Robbie Amell, who came on the show and did an interview with us, he'll be playing Chris Redfield, her brother.
Such a good choice.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah.
John Kamen will be playing Jill Valentine. Avon Joyga will play Leon. And Tom Hopper from Umbrella Academy will be playing the villain Albert Wesker, which I love.
Yeah, that's a great casting.
Because that's Klaus, right? Yeah, Klaus. So Klaus will be Albert Wesker. He's just enough of an a-hole to
bring. He's good in everything, that dude. Like, every single thing.
And I also love my favorite Neil McDonald will play William Birkin. Because Neil McDonald, if you don't remember, he's... He played Dum Dum Dugan in the MCU, and he was Damian Dark in the Arrowverse. And if there's anything he does so well, it's just come in and chew scenery up and
he plays that like snotty, holier than thou character so well.
He's the man. Yeah. And so that's for William Birkin, that's perfect. So that casting kind of got people's attention for sure. Like, I mean, I love Mila Jovovich, but this is not quite the same cast. Ugh,
no, get that out of here. I'm so happy that that this is like because like the director came out and gave his take on like the origin story, and that this is really from what he said, it was very much like a hearkening back to the first Resident Evil and the second Resident Evil. And it's going to be like set in Raccoon City. And he didn't mention like the mansion specifically or the police station or any of that stuff. But it seems like with the characters involved, we're going to get some kind of mishmash of the first two. And it's going to be like with Birkin in it, it feels like, oh, TNG virus stuff. Like we're really going to get the survival horror thing and not this weird action craze crud that was the... the Resident Evil series.
I love the original.
If I'm not making it clear, I don't like those movies.
A guilty pleasure, but
me too.
Guilty pleasure.
I like them for their own thing, and I think that that's what's cool about this is they can have, you know, their fans and like the people who love it can honor that and appreciate that, and the people who want this other side, like Matt, get that too.
It's great.
It's nice. Yeah, well, it's really good to see this.
It's great because for the last however many years, there's like seven of those movies.
There's too many.
And there was nothing else really other than the games. So now it's like this combined with the Netflix animated CG series that is also going to be like a reinterpretation of the mythos, and it's going to be Leon and Claire. That is also really interesting. So like there's a lot of really cool stuff that actually feels like Resident Evil, even if they go doing new stuff with it, as opposed to just like, oh, you either have the games or you have this Alice, whatever this is. So I'm nice.
I mean, I hope that they just basically combine the stories of the first two in the two different locations inside the mansion and like what's happening there and simultaneously like what's happening in the city and kind of like converge the two. Like that'd be kind of cool.
I think that makes a great movie.
Yeah. All right. But that's pretty cool. That's now on our radar. Cause like I said, that cast sounds good, but I mean, you're downplaying it, but it also sounds like this will have some pretty good action. I mean, Robbie Amell, Kaia Scodelario. I mean, these are people who are like,
action is it's going to have some action scenes, of course, but like the comparison is like night and day. Compared
yes. We
to
won't have slow-mo running up walls and
less Matrix. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the world was really feeling the Matrix back then. Like,
I loved, that's why I liked it, honestly.
We were all in wire foo for the next 10 years.
Yes, like, true.
That really was. I do hope we get back the laser grid, though. Like, I do hope we get that back again.
I agree again.
Yeah, the laser grid is
so good.
All right. So, that's the rest. I muted. That's the Resident Evil reboot. Let's move right along. Matt, tell us everything you're excited to talk about with The Witcher. Get it out of your system.
Hey! So Henry Cavill gave us a look at Geralt's new armor from season two, and Lucinda Wright is the new costume designer for season two. I liked Geralt's season one armor. I actually thought it looked pretty cool. This is far more like armory, so to speak. And it's got like the ab shield thing built
right.
in. It's got like
that was a little
it's more Centurion. It's more okay. like traditional armor.
I was thinking superhero. It looks
yeah,
a little too superhero.
It's very much like that. I mean, I kind of reserve my thing to actually see it in action because we got a lot of this from the first season.
You guys are
like,
teaching me to do that.
Well, because we got patient. A lot. I remember when the first images of Geralt came out from season one and the armor and like the hair and everyone
shirtless
was like,
in the tub.
And well, then, that's what we said great. The same thing too. We said it looked too pretty. It looked too
and
clean.
Then when it was in action, it looked damn good. So, yeah. I mean, I'm very much like, I want to see it in action. I don't love it. I like the last one, but I'm willing to kind of hold judgment out. But yeah, right. So we got that. We also got the next day, we got a look at Ciri's new costume, which is like a big change up from her kind of more royal outfit from the first season and just like downtrodden person. Now she's training, and that kind of tied in with the synopsis for season two, which also came out, which is, you know, for those who follow the books, they know kind of the next part of this story is that Geralt takes Ciri to Kaer Morhen and trains her. She's going to be, you know, there aren't any female witchers in this world. So he's going to kind of train her to be a witcher. And so you see like the outfit is very much more in keeping with like Geralt's clothes from season one. There's the training sword. There was actually a set photo that showed a scene being filmed where like this tree had been charred and split in two. And we're thinking that's with Ciri's powers, which we kind of saw a tease of that in season one, which aren't in the books at all. That's completely new. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually interested to see what that builds. And then we got, we've recently got some kind of extra details on like where this picks up. Geralt thinks Yennefer is dead because the Battle of Sodden that we saw in season one, kind of, he doesn't know where she is. And so we're kind of, her whereabouts are kind of mysterious. So he takes her straight to Kaer Morhen, which is like the fortress for the White Wolf School. So a lot of cool stuff going on. We're probably going to get, as you hear this, you'll probably have already seen Yennefer's new costume because it seems like they're going to be releasing something every day until like a full trailer. We still don't actually have like a release date for season two yet, like a straight up confirmed one. But it will be interesting to see kind of what happens next. So
do we have any kind of idea? Like, I know we don't have the actual date, but kind of
no,
a season?
Because so it's going to definitely be, if it's anything, I would say mid to late 2021.
That's because your guess. I like
that's
it.
My guess because okay. There's the anime that is focused on Vesemir, and that one was kind of slated to come out in between, and that was okay. But that was kind of before COVID. So right. the idea was 2020 would be the anime prequel, and then 2020 would be, God, this is so confusing. 2020 would be the Vesemir spinoff, and then 2021 would be season two of The Witcher.
Yeah.
Of course, now there's like Blood Origin that we have no idea where that fits in.
Yeah.
There's also another, we got news, a report that said there is a possible mage spinoff series in
so
development.
Cool.
So this is like huge Witcherverse stuff going on, but I'm hoping.
I only know this from the games. So now I'm even more motivated. I'm probably going to go ahead and start
read
reading
the books?
These books. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's time. I'm about done with my Harry Potter and I don't know where to go. I was going to go Dune, but I feel like I should
go
Witcher.
Okay. Go Witcher.
Okay.
I'm so happy right now. Yeah. So yeah, that's what's going on in the Witcherverse.
You got that out of your system? You good?
I did. I really did.
All right. There you go. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, we are going to deep dive into the return of The Walking Dead, plus what is going on in the world of comics. So check all of that out.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, so we're back. And like I said, we got to talk about the return of Janelle's major main beat, The Walking Dead. So when we last saw, we were before COVID, wiped everything out. Back in the spring, Walking Dead was getting ready to air its big finale for season 10. That got completely kind of thrown off. And now what we've found out since then is that this season 10 has been extended by about 6 episodes, I believe.
Yes.
So we're going to have a longer season 10 and a new chapter of the story, which obviously we're going to get into full spoilers in a minute. But if you saw how the Whisper War finale ended, you know, you can see clearly where what the next chapter is going to look like. Plus, we're going to get one more season before the show ends and breaks out into a bunch of other kind of spinoffs and new projects and things like that. So kind of a pivotal time and a pivotal return point for The Walking Dead. Plus, we got The Walking Dead's new limited series, The Walking Dead World Beyond. So we're going to talk about all of that in full spoilers right now. All right, Janelle Wheeler, this is your time to shine.
Oh, my gosh. Well,
Walking Dead time. So why don't you give us the breakdown of what happened and your impressions and your kind of take, because we got two things. And AMC was kind of sneaky because I tried to watch this on On Demand. And they just packaged both shows
it
as one.
Did.
Yes.
I messed up too.
And I was
tried
like,
to.
Why? That's why Walking they did Dead it. Like, yeah, that's why they did it. And then Walking Dead was ending, and I was like, whoa, this is only halfway done. I was waiting for like a movie length Walking Dead here.
Me
like,
too.
What's going on? And then it was like, The Walking Dead World Beyond. And I was like, man. But they
I'm
had
glad you
I was
say that.
To get up. I was too tired to get up.
Yeah. But so did you end up watching both?
Yeah, I watched both.
Okay, good. Then you can talk with me on this. Matt, did you watch these?
I did not, but I'm very intrigued. World Beyond. So I'm interested to hear.
I am not going to lie. Just my thoughts, like right off the bat, was Whisper War finale was a little lacking. And I think it has a lot to do with Kofi just said. I think that it was a very short episode for such a huge buildup. And I wish they would have put more struggle, I guess, in this. It felt like everything just kind of worked out for our group. Like the episode starts, they're surrounded by walkers in a very terrible circumstance that you don't think anything can happen. You know, Father Gabriel kind of teases us with, you know, we have all these, here's my hand, and each finger represents a different camp or basically a different group of people that are going to help us get through this. And so I'm waiting for these like huge group reveals, you know, for the whole episode. I'm waiting for this moment that it all kind of wraps up together. And instead it's just kind of like, oh, like Maggie jumps in with one other person to save the day, which is very odd. Or like our own group saved themselves by going out into the horde. I don't know. It didn't feel like a big enough payoff for me, but I know that they were limited with what they could do because of everything that shut down. And, you know, I get it. And they wrapped it up and they finished the storyline. Beta had a very nice moment in his demise. I really loved, or I guess the new Alpha. First and foremost, awesome, because Norman Reedus, like, we got the double eye plunge of daggers in his head. And It was just a really cool moment because Vader kind of dies in this very poetic way where he's almost like getting crowd surfed by walkers, which is really cool because it kind of aligns with the idea that he was a famous musician and he would be crowd surfing, you know, fans at a concert or something. That's what I kind of aligned it with. I was like, oh gosh, he has like his adoring fans, which are the walkers, just kind of like come, they're falling all over him. And in his own mind, he, like, as he was dying, he kind of thought of it as that way. Like they were praising him and loving on him and hugging him and stuff instead of just like ripping him apart, which is kind of cool. And then my favorite moment of the entire series is when Negan recognizes him. And he goes to Daryl and he goes, do you know who that was? After he dies. And Daryl's like, yeah, he's nobody. Because, you know, nothing matters from the life before. It doesn't matter who you were before. It doesn't matter how famous you were. Like, we all go down the same way in this world. So that was really rewarding. I liked that. And we had the, you know, reuniting of Maggie with our group, which was very bittersweet. You know, we didn't get a Michonne. And we also didn't see a reaction of Maggie to Negan, which I was shocked. Like, what? They're standing in the same vicinity, and yet they don't even acknowledge that they're in the same room. Or not in the same room. They're in the same forest. But it's, those were the things that I was kind of like, oh my gosh, so much potential. We didn't get it. I'm hoping that with, you know, the next episodes that come forward that we do get those, you know, trials and tribulations. Maggie does have like a sidekick who is crazy, like a superhero, a masked somebody who is just taking daggers and like fast, like a ninja, taking out walkers, which is super cool. So that's something to look forward to see who that is, the big reveal. And then of course, the other big moment was Eugene and his camp of people who are out trying to find this woman he's been in contact with, get surrounded by basically stormtroopers in the middle of nowhere. And they are done. Drop your weapons, like, we're going to shoot if you don't. And that's just like the cliffhanger we're left with. If you haven't read the comics, you're like, oh my gosh, these are stormtroopers. Like, what is this? They're like all white plastic. You have no idea. So I don't want to spoil it because is something.
Are those from, oh, I won't either. Okay.
Right. So if you don't know, you have some cool stuff coming forward, which I will save for the listeners in case they don't know, because I have found that, like, I myself got into The Walking Dead TV show before I ever read the comics. I only read the comics because of the TV show. So I try to read along with the development of the TV show kind of so that I don't spoil it for myself, but sometimes I do and I totally spoiled that for myself. But it's really cool. It's great to see our familiar people on screen. We almost had the death of Carol, but luckily she dodged that thanks to Lydia. And of course, like they always do, they got out of it alive. We only lost a few people. And I think moving forward that I was very judgmental of all of these trailers for World Beyond. I was not excited about it. I was like, this is a coming of age, like stupid 80s flick. Like, I don't like this. And then I watched it, I gave it a chance, and I actually really enjoyed it. I think it was very well done. And I'm intrigued. I'm interested in these characters. The end of the episode drops a massive, like, life-changing thing upon the viewers. So it isn't just some like bratty kids wanting to go out and prove themselves in the world of the walkers. It's people are escaping something very, very bad without knowing it. There's like a massacre and they dodged a bullet by wanting to go save someone they care about. I don't know if I want to spoil it too much. Do you guys want, what do you think, Kofi?
Oh, you have me intrigued. I would totally listen to a spoiler.
It's a little more serious.
Well, it's a full spoilers discussion.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So basically there's a young lady and she has a sister and her mother was killed during a weird traumatic event that we still don't really know what it's all about. We think it's like a plane crash. We don't really know into their community that was established. It's been 10 years since then. And their father is their number one scientist in their community. He decided to go venture out to another civilization that is, I think, out by New York. I think that's right. Somewhere. We don't know where. They won't
Portland.
Let people.
Yeah,
oh, Portland. Okay,
Oklahoma
thank you.
And Portland.
Thank you. So they won't let them communicate. They won't let him send anything back. They won't let anyone send anything to him. And that's how everyone is in the community. It's a very weird community. They have helicopters. They have this like well-oiled machine. They are a serious civilization. They have a type of president figure. It's a woman who the daughter doesn't, actually both of the daughters don't really trust. And you just kind of, they build upon that. Like, who are these people? Why are they in this, you know, kind of smaller community? And how do they handle walkers now? Like, one of the doctors, one of the psychiatrists that is obviously on her last leg, she's dying, she's on oxygen and stuff. They have bars over her door. So if she dies, like, they already know, they have a system, right?
Yeah.
We know someone's on their deathbed, we're going to bar their doors and, you know, they can have visitors and stuff like that. But now we, you know, they know how to do things, which is good. And yeah, it's just, it's interesting that part. And you just kind of think like, why am I getting all this information about all these random things? And then luckily at the very end, it all kind of comes together when the daughters receive a kind of like Morse code help emergency situation from their father in the other community. And the girls kind of take it upon themselves to leave. They want to escape, or not even escape, but they're going to leave the community to go find their dad because they know he's in danger. And they always had a bad feeling anyways. So we see them kind of gearing up and taking on their first walkers out beyond the walls. And meanwhile, back in the community, that president woman of the other civilization pretty much massacred the entire place, and it's left on a cliffhanger, and you're like, well, thank God those girls left, but they have no idea what's coming after them, and they have no idea what's going on in this other civilization, but clearly something is weird and bad.
Well, I mean, I was kind of the opposite of Janelle. I actually really liked the finale, and I didn't really like Walking Dead World Beyond. I thought it was interesting but boring up until
me too
the last 10 minutes in which like they actually drop a lot of interesting things. Like, there's a connection between like one of the sisters and this kid they hook up to travel with, who is this like seemingly nerdy kid at first, but can be, who already seems like he can be a lot crazier once the things get like going that they're now traveling with. Yeah, there's this big connection, and just the backstory of the girls is interesting, and kind of the things they went through with their dad and their mom, and when the sky fell, as they called it, like, which was, you know, the collapse of civilization. And then the big twist at the end with the, which I had to watch twice because I didn't know the community well enough to understand what was happening the first time.
Same.
I had to rewind it, but yeah.
I mean, you could have missed it. You could have literally gone to grab a snack or something and then been like,
It's not like any kind of real screaming clues that this is the same place, but you basically find out that, yeah, so they're the kind of colonel or the leader, the military leader from the other community is, she has these weird interactions with the girls between the episodes because she kind of respects them, even though the one sister like flips her off and like hates her and all that stuff. But yeah, you find out that she's a lot more dangerous than you think because she smiles in everybody's face and says all this stuff about a truce. But then she literally comes back and you can see that she blew down the walls and slaughtered everybody there and just kind of, yeah. So this other community is really more of a fascist community that we're finding out. Yeah. And it could have ties to what we saw in The Walking Dead and all this stuff. So yeah, it was interesting at the end, now that there's real stakes attached. I didn't care for like the teenage angst personal story of trauma and stuff like that. I was okay with that. But
see, that sounds awesome. I will probably watch that. Yeah. At least will give the opening episode. A question, where does this exist timeline wise with other shows? Ten years
after the collapse of society, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So yeah.
That's true.
So I would say a few years down the road from like the events of the Walking Dead series. I actually thought, just to kind of touch back and close it up, but I thought the finale was good because even though it was short, I had to remember that this was an episode that was supposed to come like in a sequence of episodes that had been really good. And this was just supposed to be like the last one. It became something much bigger in the months since we had
it. Yeah, that's a lot of pressure.
It got built up into something much bigger, but it as a I always usually like the Walking Dead penultimate episodes of a finale better than the actual finales. So the second to last episode is usually like when the most exciting stuff happens. But I actually really liked this finale. I thought it was really well directed and made. And
it was very well directed.
And even though I'd seen a lot of Walking Dead and a lot of zombie stuff, the way they just presented the things here was really like edge of your seat pretty much the entire time. From the moment they let them, they kind of slather themselves up with guts and let all those walkers into that pen, into the room with them, and had to kind of filter out through the horde. I love that sequence because I love that sequence in the comics, and this one made it so much better than it was in the comics. Like, this was so good. Like, them, just the sheer amount of terror of watching all those people try to, the chess game of trying to get through the horde, you know, having the archers take out and wound the whisperers and watching them get torn apart, then beta tightening things, and that whole nine yards was really good. And I really did like them seeing them slip back into the crowd and kind of turn the tables and just start slaughtering the whisperers. And Negan and Daryl combining to take down Beta was awesome. And, you know, that was pretty good. So I actually really good. I didn't like the cheesy Carol cliff ending. I thought that was a little cheesy.
I agree.
And I was like, there's no way Carol's going over the cliff. Like, stop it. Like,
well, also, we know that they have a spinoff for whatever.
Yeah.
So, like... So,
yeah. I also don't understand how Carol is like that.
Yeah, mentally,
crazy,
like,
about her, about Lydia. They're acting like they are just like they just love each other. I'm like, wait, are you really that close? Like,
I didn't have a problem with that, as opposed to like I didn't believe Carol's character arc that she still wants to jump off a cliff.
Yeah,
like that's how far gone she is still. Like, you got revenge for Henry or whatever his name was, the, you know, cheap knockoff Carl. You got your revenge for him.
Oh.
Yeah, like, it's all good. Like, you're not jumping off cliffs anymore. Like, okay. Like, so, but otherwise, I thought it was really well-directed episode and, like, real, like I said, really well to get, like, well-done battle. And that was by far, I think, since the Frank Darabont season 2 premiere, that was the scariest kind of presentation of what a horde is and, like, just how messed up it is to
yeah, adding the whispers to it.
Not even that, just the sheer number of zombies and just seeing what, like, they did a great job of seeing what happened the instant somebody made any kind of sound in the crowd. Like, a dozen zombies just ripped you apart, like, in seconds. You were just ripped to shreds and like a stain, and it was just like, holy crap, that is scary. So yeah, I actually enjoyed the finale of the Whisper War, and I enjoyed this arc. It's one of my, I mean, it may be one of, if not my favorite arcs in The Walking Dead, because especially I like it with Rick Grimes gone and how the other ensemble really took on that challenge and the unexpectedness of whose heads ended up on the pikes, and that whole twist with Alpha to the twist of Alpha's death and this final showdown with Beta and all that. And there's just a lot of really great episodes in this arc, from the Alpha meeting Beta episode to Daryl fighting Beta and all that stuff. Like, you know, all just a lot of good moments. And so, man, I can see why The Walking Dead really might end after in another season, because I don't know if it's ever going to get better than this. So,
yeah.
Of all the wars we've had in this show, mm-hmm. Governor, Saviors, this was the best. So, really, really glad how this turned out.
I'm still Team Governor. I love the Governor.
Yeah, I did love the Governor.
Yeah.
Alpha and Beta were by far my best villains.
And because those two actors, better in the comics.
Samantha Morton, I mean, she was so, she was really good in this.
She was great, though. You're right. And I'm so bummed that Harlots got canceled, because I love her in that, too.
All right.
You guys haven't watched that.
No, I was just going to move on. I didn't even know.
It's about brothels and prostitutes. It's fine.
Yay. You keep your CD life out of this podcast. All right.
Oh, so, my gosh.
You can find that at Janelle Wheeler, Twitch, OnlyFans.
yeah. Wow.
Yeah. For more on that. No, we're going to get into comics. So moving right along, let's get to comics. Matt, why don't you run down what's new for us this week, and then we're going to discuss some things in detail.
Yeah, so of course the big one this week is Batman number 100, which we will get into. The end of the Joker War and the setup for a bunch of other things to come. We also have Amazing Spider-Man number 49, Wolverine. Oh, so here's how X of Swords is, of course, in each of the X-Men books. So I'm going to go through which chapters, because there's like three this week that you need to kind of keep track of. So the first one is Wolverine number 6, that is chapter 3. Then we have X-Force number 13, that is chapter 4. And then we have Marauders number 13, which is chapter 5. So all of those, and you need to read them in order, if you want to go ahead and get the full story. We also have Amazing Spider-Man number 49, Thor number 8, we have Die number 14, Deceased Dead Planet number 4, this is a big week by the way, Star Wars number 7, Deadpool number 7, Decorum number 5, Far Sector number 8, We Only Find Them When They're Dead number 2, Black Widow number 2, Champions number 1, American Vampire 1976 number 1, glad to see that series back, Spider-Man Marvel Snapshots number 1, Ultraman The Rise of Ultraman number 2, Bang number 4, Inkblot number 2, Transformers Back to the Future number 1. So that is a packed week of comics, and there's actually like another giant chunk that I did not name. Those are just kind of some of the highlights, but it is a huge week in comics this week. So that's new comics.
Comics coming back for that Monet. All right, so let's talk. We've been meaning to talk. Matt decided to take an impromptu day off, and we had a lot to do last week, and so we were without comics in our discussion. Yeah, there was a lot going on, but you left the people hanging last week. So let's talk about a couple things. So we're going to talk a little bit about X of Swords. Have we talked about X of Swords?
We have not. We didn't talk about, Creation? Yeah.
Man, it's been a while. Okay, so we're going to do that. We're talking about Three Jokers too, but let's start with Batman 100. So Batman 100 was the end of the big Joker War arc, and we're going to talk full spoilers for these comics that we're reviewing. So they've been out. I mean, Batman 100, by the time you have heard this, it's already out, so we're good. And the other two are even older, so all right. So now that we've read Joker War and we gotten to the end of it, I'm pretty ready to stack this up next to Empire as the second worst big crossover.
Oh man,
I've read in, ouch, I mean, at least this year, in the last year, and unfortunately I think we were right ultimately about this arc following Tom King's excellent City of Bane, which actually did, and I'll say this is why. I mean, I gave Joker War a chance right up till the end, but when I got to the end, I feel like this is by far, for a story that claimed to be like the final Batman versus Joker story, like, this one didn't even really reach a good point. It's such a muddled ending, like, thematically and even narratively. Just the ending is so crazy, just muddled and weird, and doesn't feel like a really well-fleshed-out idea. Basically, if you weren't paying attention, Joker basically got a hold of Batman, of Bruce Wayne's fortune. He knows his identity. He got hold of his fortune. He used that to basically secure police and political power in Gotham, and he was basically the biggest power influencer in Gotham, and he did use it to cause chaos, violence, and death, and kind of keep Batman without his tools, and Batman basically had to find a way to kind of just get back on his game, because he also drugged him with a Joker toxin that made him see visions of dead Alfred. There was all this stuff. Batman had to get back on his game, apologize to the Bat family for the umpteenth time, and stage a major kind of coordinated comeback. And Joker's big finale plan was to pile people into Gotham movie theaters to tell them who Batman was, you know, that he was Bruce Wayne, and then kill them and mimic kind of like the Wayne murders and really kind of drive that home. This finale, so the finale chapter, and he, in his final showdown, he put on this suit of shiny Batman armor that was supposed to be Batman's reward for building a brighter, better Gotham and becoming a better Batman one day. And he and Joker battled it out. So this last final issue is really kind of dialogue heavy. It's Joker kind of telling us more about his plan than actually showing us and trying to tell us what Joker War is. It's literally a comic finale of the writer telling you what his story has been about and like what, why it's so deep and profound and this big change for Batman. It's like, and the Joker's just literally saying all of this out loud. Like, Joker's Batman therapist in this one for some reason. And it's a really weird thing. And, like, it just feels so bland. It feels like nothing really changes or moves these characters in this story. Like, Batman doesn't flip out worse than ever and nearly beat Joker to death or anything. Like, Joker doesn't, like, do anything crazier than we've seen him do before. And it all comes down to Harley trying to pull the knockoff Frank Castle move from Daredevil, Guardian Angel, by strapping a bomb to herself and Joker and saying, Batman, you have to save only one of us and you have to make this decision like right now, which is stupid and felt stupid for Harley's character. Like, I don't know, Harley Quinn blowing herself up just to get Batman to prove a point was just ridiculous to me. And in the end, Joker escapes the supposed unescapable choice by doing exactly what Batman knew he would do and said out loud he was going to do before he did it. And so Joker's like gone, nothing's solved. Like, but he claims they try to pull this Captain America Civil War, like Zemo victory. Like, I lost, but I've really won because now Gotham will never be this good place. And it's like, nothing in the story really resonates like that hard is that big of a change or that big of an impact. So I don't know. This just felt like really muddled and lost. And I actually liked his dark design much better than this.
Which was crazy because coming into that, we were all kind of like, I don't know what to think about this. And that turned out to be really, really interesting. I'm not as low on it as you are. I Empire One was trash. So that's a very low bar. Like AVX is still down there. Like there's a couple other ones down the rung. I actually really enjoyed this issue until we got to like that final third, I guess, where it really is like Tynan just, you know, telling, it's a lot of exposition telling you why the story matters. Why Joker is doing this. And because I agree wholeheartedly, like once we get to the very end, Gotham has, yes, there are some things in Gotham that will change as like for the city, how they look at Batman, how they look at things. Like there are some things, but they're very subtle. Like they're not, this is not earth shattering stuff. And also, I mean, the city has been through like how many of these things, like it's not so earth-shattering. So I do agree, like, it feels we've come full circle by the end, but we haven't really gotten anywhere. I mean, Joker is alive. That is said in the epilogue. So, I mean, he's not dead. He's still doing the same stuff. He then teases at the end. My biggest thing was that in the epilogue, he teases another big event. So I'm like, why did we do this one? I thought this one was the final big thing. And then it's like, no, I have a final plan. I was like, oh my God, like pick a lane. Like if you're going to,
even the introduction of the new character Ghostmaker, it's just like, for this muddled reason, he's like, well, some muddled thing just happened in Gotham, but now it's a sure sign that I got to come.
Now here's the thing on that. I will say that I hate the name. The design is cool. I hate the name, but I will say that setup was a lot like the designer setup, which we balked at. And then he did some really cool stuff about like how the character's past weaves in with Gotham and Batman. So like there was some really cool stuff there. I will push that one off. I want to see what that one is, because I'm not going to balk this time. I'm going to learn from my mistake and go, well, maybe that's really cool. I will just say that like the end, I did like that Joker explains that, look, the theaters and all that stuff was just to goad you. Like, I kind of like that wasn't the big part of the plan. The real part of the plan was just, like, this push and pull of, like, proving that Gotham doesn't want Batman. I like the Harley moment of shooting him through the eye, of, like, wanting to for real kill him because that is what should be done. But then again, I don't like the thing that you were talking about with the bomb thing. I don't like any of that. Like, I was like, okay, didn't really need that. I think it went off the rails. I actually thought did you read the epilogue to the Clown Hunter thing? I thought that was actually pretty good.
Yeah, that was the best thing from Clown Hunter. And I was like, and it's just awkward that it's like at the very end of the story.
Where was that? Why introduce this character if you didn't?
It was so interesting once you got to see who this kid was and like why he was a psycho and like where he was coming from. And like,
and his character now. Stuff about, why didn't you, like, I've waited for you to save the day. You didn't kill my parents. You could have just solved that. Like, all that was really interesting. So I was like, where was this throughout the entire event? Why is this at the very
Instead
end?
Instead of just splash pages of Clown Hunter standing around.
Yeah, it was that. So, yeah, I agree. This event was uneven. This event did not deliver the, like...
And it's just a waste of a title. Like, if you're going to create something called Joker War, like, it should be really, really well done and epic. And it's just... didn't feel like
we didn't really get very far from where we started. The Nightwing stuff was dope. That stuff was cool. The book is gorgeous, by the way. I thought the book was gorgeous.
No, it looked art-wise. Great. Yeah, it looked great. But compared again to City of Bane, which actually made significant advancements in like Batman and understanding and who he is and dealt with big psychological things with his dad, with Alfred and like all that stuff. Bane, who kind of crippled him before, like it was great. But all right, I'm not gonna harp on.
That's
it.
Why we're excited for Batman Catwoman, because yeah. That's King. So
yeah, so and this wasn't Empire, like you said. Now it's time to something more positive, which is X of Swords, which I'm not gonna get too crazy deep because Janelle also read this reading Three Jokers, so I would like to get to that a little bit of time.
Oh, let's
the next one, two is in my mailbox right now. I know.
Killing me, Smalls.
I don't care though. All spoil right. The heck out of it. I'll still enjoy it.
But X of Swords, this is the kind of first big X-Men event since House of X, which we spent a lot of time on in season one of the podcast, really getting into that and dissecting that. X of Swords, I'm proud to say, is the one crossover this year that seems to be, and the one we hated on the most in the beginning, that surprisingly enough seems to be living up to standard the best. It's a surprisingly good, if you skip Dawn of X just to know like a couple things happen in each book, that's fine. But this is a good kind of the event and the scope and the feeling of importance that House of X had for the X-Men. This has recreated that. And it's done so on a more impressive level, in my opinion, because it's taken some of the weaker elements of the Dawn of X books that we were talking about, like all that stuff with Excalibur and Otherworld and the mystical stuff that felt kind of out of place with the X-Men. And it's made that feel all right at home. And it's only like Hickman, I think, who can really just pull all these strands together in a way that makes it feel like logical and organic and epic in scope at the same time. So if you don't know what X of Swords is about, part of the X-Men's new line, they have their new nation, their island of Krakoa. And in Excalibur's kind of first year Dawn of X run, we began to learn more, and House of X alluded to this but didn't go too deeply into it, that Krakoa had this, the living island was much older than we thought, had this kind of ancient past that involved Apocalypse, where Krakoa was once a much bigger land called Araka. And one day some demonic entities kind of used a sword to invade this plane by cutting Krakoa or cutting Araka in half and creating two living islands, Arako and Krakoa. And there was a big major war fought in ancient times with what we now know are like some X-Men DC that Apocalypse formed with his horsemen. And so Apocalypse and his forces had to beat back these demonic hordes and seal the gate. And basically what Swords of X creation is about is this first issue is long, but it's very epic in scope. And what it does is lays out that Arako was sealed. Otherworld is a world of two halves. There's a light half and a dark half. And Arako was basically sealed into the dark half, Ameth. And Apocalypse's horsemen have had to fight there for thousands of years. And now they want to get out of this hellscape and come back to the good half of their living island, which is Krakoa. They want to rejoin and retake Krakoa. And so they've been marching across Otherworld from the dark half. And now they've reached the midpoint, which is the Starlight Citadel, which guards the line between the light and the dark half and has a portal to Krakoa. And they wanted to go and invade Krakoa and take back that land in the mortal plane and not in this hellscape anymore. But the kind of goddess of the Omniverse, Saturn, or whatever her name is, Saturn, she decrees that, no, they're not going to just fight and do this bloody thing because she's all powerful. She's God. She reminds everybody. So they're going to have a tournament, kind of Enter the Dragon style with swords. And each side, Krakoa and the evil hordes of Arako, get to pick 10 champions, and they're going to be 10 sword battles. And that's what the first thing sets up. And I'm making that a lot simpler than it is.
Jeez, man, it's so dense.
Yeah, it's like 60 pages, nearly like 70
pages.
Overwhelm. But that's, yeah. But this is the thing, and I think that's I said really I good. Loved about it is that it basically is. I think we did talk about this because I remember talking a little bit with you and Jim about this, but what's good is it's very dense, but it makes the premise very simple. Each side needs 10 champions and they've got to win these sword fights. Otherwise it's doomed.
Yeah.
And so we've also seen the second chapter, which is in X Factor, which again is also, and I was kind of worried about when you got out of the main book, like or the main sort of X books, like X of Swords, what would it be like? But it's doing really good so far. Like X Factor, so what they're doing is they're going old school 90s X-Men crossovers, which is each book is important and matters, and each chapter is in each book. So these are not tie-ins. These are actual chapters. But each chapter in a specific book highlights that book and its characters. So like X-Factor has a lot of the X-Factor team in it and kind of what they're doing, and specifically like Polaris, who gets given the prophecy of the 10 swords and trying to figure that out and like all this stuff and just basically trying to deal with what happened over in Otherworld, because an X-Men's been killed. There's major upsets to the resurrection protocols that happen, because if you die in Otherworld, in this mystical realm, Otherworld isn't just a mystical realm, it's the nexus of the Omniverse. So the person they bring back, you, once you die over there, like, your soul that they draw back from there isn't necessarily the same soul from your reality. It's your soul from any number of realities, or they're still figuring that all out. So one character gets killed and they bring him back, but it's not him anymore, which is already setting the stage for to be able to reboot certain X-Men characters.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Because they're pretty major players going into these sword fights. You got like Wolverine, Storm, Magneto, Professor Xavier, Doug and Warlock, like, yeah, Gorgon, you know, Betsy Braddock, yeah, there's major players going into this. And if they die, when they get resurrected, it won't be necessarily the same Magneto or Professor Xavier that we had before. So somebody's getting reinvented. Super, I don't know cool. who.
I love that.
That's super cool. So yeah, like I said, Hickman is good at kind of adding scope and scale. And it's not just him. I forget the second writer. But yeah, this is really cool stuff, because this is feels, again, like House of X. It feels like a big shift. And it's impressive to me that they're doing all this mystical stuff and making it fit with the X-Men and feel organic. And they've also somehow expanded the entire world and mythos of the X-Men even more. So now, like, again, now Marvel already has the foundation to launch, like, X-Men BC with Apocalypse and this team of super mutants, ancient mutants that he drops in just a one random line of dialogue to Xavier, you know, the person. He's like, yeah. They're like, what happened last time? And he's like, well, you know, I had to sacrifice all my children, his four horsemen, and, like, scores of godlike mutants whose names you've never known. And it's like, wait, what now?
Like, yeah.
And so, yeah, so they've kind of reinvented, and they're just quickly expanding this out. And like I said, it's blessedly simple and exciting, this crossover. We have to watch these people go into the Marvel Universe and find and collect these different swords. And our own Jamie Lovett has done some excellent breakdowns on what the swords of Ten of Swords actually are and what they mean to different Marvel comics and storylines. So check that out on comicbook.com. But yeah, they got to go hunt down 10 swords. And then we get to see 10 sword fights.
Yeah. Just
10 main events, cool. Like big battles. Like, yeah. And somebody's dying at the end of each one of these. So it's going to be pretty exciting. And, you know, there's going to be, of course, this is a game of, you know, cosmic proportions. So there's going to be double crosses, things happening behind the scenes, you know, all that stuff. But yeah, I mean, I am here for the next month until, like, well into 2021, X of Swords has me here. So I'm excited.
Well, that's super cool that, like, I didn't really at the time when it was announced, like, oh, it's going to be like a traditional X-Men event. And it's going to be in the individual books. I didn't really think, for whatever reason, like, oh, you're going to get multiple chapters in a week. But of course, you're going to get multiple chapters in a week because these books release. So, like, we're already at chapter 5 now. Like, this week, we're already at chapter 5. So, like, it's moving quickly, too.
Now we know why it's 22 chapters, yeah.
Yeah, because now it doesn't – when that was announced, I was like, oh, good Lord. Like, that's a bit much. But here, it doesn't feel like that because you're getting multiple books in a week. So that's nice. So hopefully
it also makes me think each team also has a secret fighter for their 11th, because 11th and 20, if both sides have 11, that's 22 chapters. See, Hickman likes to play those games. But yeah, X of Swords, X-Men, if you haven't been checking that out since House of X, you should jump in for this one. It's really exciting and good.
Very good.
Yeah, so check that out. So let's talk Three Jokers too. Or do we want to wait? Janelle, you want to wait?
Janelle, has the two books. Do you have them?
I literally, I've already read the first one, and I actually really loved it personally. I thought it was great, but I don't think I am very critical for some reason. Why do I love everything? I don't know.
I heard you be critical. I mean,
you are friends with Brandon Davis.
Yeah. Wow. The second one was sent into my P.O. box literally this morning. So I guess I'll pick it up and read it later.
Let's wait for her to fully read that, and then...
I mean, by then, I'm going to be behind. I'm going to need the third one.
Richard says we reach our time limit anyway, so we can...
Okay. Three Jokers. All right. I'm excited, though, but please, if anybody is reading along, hit us up, because I love discussing, and I'm new to this whole series, and honestly, I've only read the Walking Dead comics, so I'm pumped. Well, actually, I've also read now Doctor Strange, too.
I'm so proud of myself. Yes.
People are going to be asking about House of M, dog.
Oh, that's happening, too. Yeah. That is going to be happening, too, yeah.
All right. Well, that'll do it. We've done one DC and one Marvel today, so that's good. And we'll have more of X of Swords to talk probably next show when we catch up with this week's chapters. That'll do it for this episode of Comic Book Nation. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. If you're just getting into the show, we put up new episodes every Wednesday and every Friday on comicbook.com, where you can subscribe, or I'm sorry, where you can check out the show and listen to it on the site, or you can listen to your favorite podcast platforms. We are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Google Playlists, iHeartRadio, and you can tell any smart home device to fire up Comic Book Nation podcast, and it will start playing for you right there. If you want to talk to us, drop topics for the show, say what's up, or just follow along with our community, we now have the Twitter account at Comic Book Nation, or you can always find us dropping the hashtag Comic Book Nation. So you can join us there. And like I said, get regular updates about the show and everything you need to know, and just kind of what new stories we'll be talking about and our opinions on things. And yeah, we're on that Twitter account. So follow. If you like the show, go on Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star review, because one day when COVID blows over, we're going to get back in our offices. We have a whole merch closet, and we're going to send a bunch of t-shirts out to our 5-star fans as a sign of appreciation. So make sure you get in your 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. If you want to talk to me, you can follow me at Kofi Outlaw.
You can find me at Matt Aguilar CB.
And you can find me at Janelle Wheeler on Twitch and all the socials.
All right, that'll do it. Thank you again. This is Comic Book Nation. We hope you guys stay checked in, stay healthy. We're sorry about the movies of 2020, and hopefully we can get things back on track in 2021. But we have more great stuff to talk about every week. We still got streaming. We still got shows and some big things happening between now. Yeah, gaming.
Comics. Next
consoles coming, comics, manga, anime. We got it all. Wrestling. So stay tuned in. Comic Book Nation. We'll see you next time. Peace.
Deuces.